Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in 3 Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he pinned me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. And with Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose. And he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mentioned a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. Your host, JP John Paz, with me today, very special guest. You may know him as a member of the Head Shrinkers or the Samoan SWAT team. He's a former WWE World Tag Team Champion. Of course, he is Mr. Samu. Samu, welcome to the two-man power trip. How you doing?
John, how are you, bro? Good to see you.
Doing good, doing good. Great to see you. Of course, big show coming up this weekend, actually, the Celeb Fest in Baltimore. So what's going on with that? How you doing? I know DH Promotions is bringing you in.
Yeah, it's looking good. We've been excited to be able to come down there and see everybody in Baltimore, the area, and hang out there with everybody. A lot of hard work goes into these things, you know, so I want to give a shout out to everybody that's making this possible.
Yeah, everybody that's going there, of course, go to the DH Promotions table, can see you and see Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. It's going to be a huge show. It usually is in Baltimore. I know you've probably been to Baltimore more than a few times.
Oh, yeah. Baltimore is one of my favorite cities there. But, yeah, back in the day, you know, we used to tear it up down there.
When you think of Baltimore, you think of old school WWF? Like those days? Sure. Like, you know, Bob Backlund era days?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, because that's, you know, this is where I got my start, really. So this is one of the few that in Philadelphia, New York was, you know, pretty exciting for a young kid getting going. You know, I was only like, 18 years old then. So I was just tickled.
When you did get your start, was that all because of your dad, Afa, brought you in? Because like you said, you were 17, 18 years old when you first started.
Yeah, what happened, I was in Dallas, you know, I was a babyface down in Dallas, paying my dues, learning the ropes, and my dad and uncle were up in WWF at the time, and they were tag team champions. They had just won a tag team championship, and my uncle had broken his hip, so he wasn't able to compete for several months, and at first the talk was about trying to get someone to replace him, and then my dad, you know, didn't want to replace, you know, that's his brother, he said, and he doesn't want to tag with anybody, unless at the time it was Captain Lou, and or his son, which was me. And Andre the Giant at the time had been traveling, you know, he was hitting all the territories. So he had come down there and seen me down there, and I met Andre and hung out with him a couple of times. So when he got back up, he said, yeah, he's a big kid, put him in there. So Vince Jr. Decided to run with me. So it was kind of a, you know, deer in the headlights type of thing.
Yeah, were you ready for that? That's a big step up there.
Yeah, you know, at the time too, I used to always wonder that, you know, am I ready? Am I doing okay? And you know, my dad assured me if I wasn't, I wouldn't be there. So it was pretty fun. But at the same time, how can I go wrong? I had so much help back in those days. Everybody was, you know, somebody that knew everything. You know, so it was a great learning experience for me, under pressure, of course, but no better way to learn.
And I guess you were technically Wild Samoan number 3, Samula, right? Back then, you weren't technically Samu as of yet.
Yeah, it was Samula. Actually, to say my name in Samoan is Samuelu. And Vince, he was got a little excited there and shuffled the words, and it came out Samula, and that shit stuck with me forever, and I hated it, you know, and I was like, how about Samu, can, you know, it's easy to remember, it's short, because, you know, Afa, Sika, and Sam, that just wasn't going to get it.
That's a Vince Jr. screw-up or a Vince Sr. screw-up?
Nobody screwed up, it's just, I guess, the way it came out and a bunch of excitement, but Jr.
Okay, you're right, okay. It's just one of those things. It's like, wow, they got another Wild Samoan. It just seems like, this is trouble. There's more of these Samoans, you know, for the WWF at the time, especially Bob Backlund. You know, it was a bit of a problem for him.
Yeah, right. Bob was a good guy. You know, he was good to me.
Was that a lot of pressure? Because early on in your career, you had a world title match, and you had a couple of them against Bob Backlund. A lot of pressure to throw out there, and, you know, you're facing the top dog in the WWF.
Of course. It was a lot of pressure, but at the same time, you know, I had my dad in my corner, and I, like I said, I had countless help in the back, and I was just lucky and blessed to be at the right place at the right time.
Did your dad always want you to be a pro wrestler?
No. He wanted me to be a mechanic so I could fix his car so he can hit the road.
So when you told him you wanted to get in, what was his thoughts?
Oh, he said it wasn't, you know, as easy as I thought it was. And I know, you know, that it wasn't, you know. So I tried to, you know, convince him that I was. He says, okay. So we were in Louisiana. I think it was Shreveport, Louisiana. And he says, we're going to go in early tonight into the show. And you're going to wrestle, you know, like five of us. So, you know, train with five of us. So it was basically like little scrimmage matches, 3-minute matches. And I was relieved that it was only 3 minutes. And, you know, to a young kid in pretty good shape at that time, 3 minutes didn't sound too threatening. But at the same time, they were all different kind of styles. Green guy and the rest were veteran. Some were snugger than others. And then the last one was Sheik. So oh. It was funny. It was Ken Mantell, the green guy at that time, Vinny Romero, my dad, my uncle, and Sheik. So, you know, 3 minutes, we went. Sure, that sure felt like an hour.
Yeah.
Same time, everybody had their own styles. Everybody, you know, somebody was really light. Somebody was a little snug. Somebody was not. And the last one was Sheik. Sheik says, and I overhear him telling my dad, Alpha, I'm going to make him respect the business. I go, oh, shit, here we go. And I'm already blowed up, you know. Like I said, 3 minutes is a lot longer than I thought it was. So Sheik, yeah, I don't know how many know, he was a gold medalist in the wrestling at the time. Not at the time, but, you know, in his past.
Yep.
So he was putting all of these holds on me and putting the sugar on me whatnot. And then he got me and he hooked me, but he could never pin me at the time. He couldn't pin me. And then the only thing that he could do was try to submit me. But at the same time, I know my dad and my uncle there. So I'm like, what's the worst that's going to happen? He's not going to break my fucking arm. So I was like, yeah, all right. Go ahead, break it. I told him. So.
Yeah.
What else was I going to do? So.
Right. Pretty anyway, good pretty good way to start the business, though. I mean, geez, Sheiky baby.
It was. Yes, it was. He tried to humble me.
Yes, yes, make you humble, yes. I remember he used to always say that about Brian Blair. He was going to, you know, F him in the ass and make him humble. Like, great. Crazy stuff from the Sheik. He, you know, like you said, legitimate tough guy, though. I mean, scary dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's off the wall, too, because, you know, he's like a loose cannon to me at that time. Because, I mean, this guy's out in the freezing cold in the parking lot in his wrestling trunks and his curly boots doing squats. So, wow. This guy is not home.
And
but, you know, after a while, you know, yeah, he had these crazy baseball bat clubs and shit that he used to do out there. Sheik was funny.
Your actual training, did your dad play a big role in that? Did your uncle play a big role in the actual training?
Of course. Well, you got to remember, too, I was raised on the road. I was traveling with them on the highways. And as a young kid, that's what I wanted to do when I got home from school. Try to get out of school early enough so I could jump in the car and maybe go with my dad. Yeah, a lot of time spent on the road. Then everybody's happy when I learned how to drive so I could drive everybody. So everything worked out.
Was that a lot of pressure on you, though? Because it's like, you know, you got to be good and, you know, you got to be in the business. You know what I mean? Is that pressure on you, though? Because that's like the Wild Samoans, I mean, that's a pretty hard act to follow.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, too, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be like them, but I couldn't. I was baby face. I had no mustache, no hair on my face. And, you know, they were running around picking their nose and stuff like that. So I had to try to be part of it, but yeah, be a little bit different, you know, like a newer age. Like I try to stop them from picking their nose. Try to tell him, you know, stuff in English and everything. Hey, stay out of my camera.
All right, you got to try to, like, Americanize them, I guess, so to speak, right? You got to Westernize them, so to speak.
Yeah, what else was I going to do? So there was two. There was, we were doing the promos where Vince was out there, you know, he was doing the promos, and Captain Lou's out there, my dad's out there, and I'm all, it's just two baby faces. Told me to just turn around and look at the back wall, let them see the, just the back of you, let them wonder what the hell you look like. So that's what we did, you know, in the beginning. And time went by pretty fast. You know, time goes fast when you're having fun.
Yeah, oh my God. Can't believe, like, if you look back at it, it's like, wow, you debuted in the WWF in 1983, 40 mm-hmm. years ago. I mean, that's just nuts to think about that.
Yeah, it is. Time goes fast. You know, I always say that, and the more time goes by, the more I realize that it's going faster than I even say. You know, it's just, it's crazy. I got 7 grandkids now, and life is just a blessing. You know, I'm blessed to be here. Everybody know, you know, I had that liver transplant too, September 2019. So,
yeah, how are you doing physically?
Good, good. I, you know, I'm older now. I feel old anyway, but I want to blame the liver. but no, I'm happy to be here. You know, like I said, I got my grandchildren here, my kids, and I'm looking forward to all these memories I'm still able to make.
When you look at it, we're saying like 1983, which is crazy. Like, that's when you debuted in the WWF. You really kind of made your mark in 1992, 1993, really, when, and even 94, when you're the head shrinkers with Fatu. When you came all the way back, I know obviously there was some Montreal, some WCW, some World Class mixed in between. But when you came back to WWF in the mid-90s, did you think like, wow, this place has really changed from the 1983 era? I mean, we're in a completely different era now.
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, everybody was, I mean, we were still doing a lot of driving at the time, but a lot more flying than compared to back in the 80s. Anything over the under 250 miles, we were driving back then. Then it was like 17 days on the road, three days off. You know, the schedule was hectic, you know, and up and down the highways. But hey, it's what we do because we love it, you know. So once you, anybody that's stepped in the ring, well, you know, it's addicting. You know? Once you step your foot in there, your body hits the mat, it's done. It's a done deal.
How did you get back in 92? Like, what was the, was Vince just like, hey, we want to bring the Samoans back, we give them a different name as the head shrinkers? How did you get back in like, when you came back in the mid-90s?
Well, it was supposed to be Yokozuna and I were supposed to do the head shrinker gimmick because we were tag teaming up in Japan at the time. And we were supposed to do the head shrinker gimmick in WWE. Well, actually, they wanted us to be New Guinea headhunters. And we're like, oh, no, please. Can we be some more? You know, how about the head shrinkers? You know, we came up with that. And we're like, okay. But like I said, it was supposed to be Yoko and myself. And Yoko was at that time, too. He was doing a lot of single stuff in Mexico. And he had got a cut on his leg, which got infected. So he wasn't able to make the debut, our debut with Vince. And J.J. Dillon went in the back and told the sad news. And then Vince just scratched the whole thing. Forget it. You know, he does that real good sometimes. So. Yep. And then we were, at the time, Fatu was there with me. He was like laying down, relaxing underneath the table. And we're like, hey, let's go in there. Because, you know, him and I were the SST for the longest time. So we still had a package to offer, you know. So we were like, you know, we still got the, you know, something to show. Give us a chance. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, we'll leave. So basically that's what happened. And then Fatu and I went out there and tore it down. And the rest was history.
That's so interesting, though, that they didn't want the Samoan SWAT team together. They wanted you and Yoko together. That's kind of interesting.
Well, Yoko and I was already a tag team in Japan for a couple of years now. So I think basically they just wanted us out of Japan.
So they weren't even thinking of you and Yoko.
No, not at the time.
Man, I just remember you guys in WCW like tearing it up. It's like, wow, Heyman. Paul Heyman, who obviously is still with Roman today, it's like he brought you guys in. It's like, these guys are killers. Like, these guys are awesome, you know? Yeah. It's just funny to think that WWF didn't think of that originally, even though it turned out better for everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it was just the package that we presented at the time. And, of course, like I said, I was with Yoko for a long time in Japan. We were there every other month usually, and it was crazy. We did, you know, we did a lot of good business over there. So, you know, I'm not going to abandon him at the time, and you know, it was just natural that we go together.
So it was, but you guys,
like, you know, right? Once he healed up, he came back, and that was even better for everybody. It was like, hey, we all had jobs, you know.
Yep.
No, eat.
yeah, hell yeah. So it was you guys that came up with the head shrinker's name. Like you said, you didn't want the New Guinea headhunter's name there. So
yeah, no, I don't even know what, you know, no offense, but I don't know nothing about the New Guinea, nothing, anything.
Who comes up with that stuff? Is that Vince? Is that creative? Like, where's that stuff?
Don't get me going. I think it was Vince Russo.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. Interesting.
That's me. That's just what I think. Just from hearing different things he said on different platforms.
So when you went and fought
too, yeah, pretty much.
When so you went fought
ourselves over.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So when you and Fatu were together, obviously, you got the Steiner brothers. I mean, there's a bunch of great tag teams that you guys wrestle. When you guys are together, are you just like, are you thinking to yourself, like, this is where we want to be? This is great money. This is what we want to do. Yeah. Are you happy, like, with your position in the company?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, everybody wants to be as high as you can get, you know, of course, you know. But as far as tag teams, we were happy with, you know, where we're at, and we fought for our positions, and you know, we worked hard for it, and a lot of it came to fruit. We did good. I mean, not like the money they're making today, but you know, to us back then. And you got to remember too, I came from the 80s, so the 90s looked a lot better, or so I thought. And you know, now they're, everybody, you know, doing phenomenal now. It's good.
I'm proud of everybody. What was the travel schedule like? Like, how many days were you guys on the road back then? A lot?
Oh, yeah. 17 days on, 3 days off. And out of those 3 days, it takes you 1 day to get home, take a shower, wash your ass, pack your bag, get back on the road, catch up to everybody again. So it's hard. It's really hard on a family life, or, you know, on a marriage. Your kids, you're away from your family. That's a real hard part.
Yeah, so you're basically home 1 day out of every 20, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's rough. Yeah, that's just terrible. So the guys on the road, I mean, they're your family in essence.
Yeah, but like I said too, you know, things aren't like that anymore. I'm glad, you know, these guys are able to spend time with their families and still be able to, you know, put food on the plate.
When you guys turn babyface and beat the Quebecers and win the tag team titles, I think it was April of 94 on Raw. Was that like a big thing? Like, does that mean as much to you guys as the wrestlers as just the fans? Like, wow, look at the resume. They're tag team champions. You know, you can, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, you mean you can mention that forever, tag team champs. Does that mean as much as you guys as the wrestlers as just to us, the fans?
Oh, of course. You know, that's what, like I said, that's what we fought for, the top, to get to the top position. And as far as tag teams, you know, that's it. Once you get there, what I didn't like was that we were babyface, because when we pitched the idea of becoming champions, that we can, you know, hold the fort and hold that everything down, we felt, you know, they switched us babyface without, you know, no notice. It was like, boom, here's Captain Blue, and you guys are babyface. I was like, wow. You know, it kind of messed my whole vision of where I thought we were going up. But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, that is interesting, because you guys are like natural heels to me, because it's like, oh, these guys are savages, they're animals, they're heels, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's what I felt. You know, that's what I felt. They just, you know, sometimes you don't know. You know, it depends who's writing and what they're writing, when they're writing. You know, it's better if you have their own creative control. The more you have, the better off you are, you know, like once you get out there, I feel. No, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you don't feel it. You know it. Yeah, you've lived it. You felt it. Yeah. So when you guys are tag champs, are you expecting like this really long reign? I mean, you guys do hold it for, I think, about 4 months or so, but are you expecting a longer reign, shorter reign, or they don't tell you stuff like that?
No, at the time there was a lot of, I felt, games going around back and forth with them. So I was not very happy at the time. Even though we had the belt, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't the vision that I had. I'm not one to like to be babyface, not, you know, nothing against it, to other people, to each his own. Me, I'd rather be heel. It's just the way it is.
So you, when you guys lose the tag titles to Diesel and HBK, they're just like, okay, you know, that's fine. We're moving on. You, like, there was nothing promised you guys or anything as far as that.
No, no, they were next in line. And again, you know, the chemistry, it just wasn't there against heel, you know, heel, especially the guys that have us work, you know, their job, they want what that's in their mind is to get themselves over, and they want to be the best. You know, same thing that we were thinking when we were. So, yeah, no, it was a, I don't even think that match happened. I think they just said it happened and switched the belts over there. Because I just, ended up, I had a fractured sacroiliac too that I worked with for over a year. And it was just a lot of things that piled up at the same time that, you know, made me have to just hit the road and go home back to my family.
It seemed like, okay, head shrinkers are gone, but then they bring back the Samoan Gangster Party. Was that supposed to be something? Because you guys don't really have a match. It's you and Matt, obviously, Matt, Rodney, whatever, or Matt, I don't know why. But was there supposed to be something more with you guys? Because, I mean, you guys do something ECW, but you don't really have a match in WWF.
Right. Well, those plans got scratched. You know, the direction that we were going at that time, Fatu was doing the Make a Difference gimmick, and Matt and I were supposed to come in and try to switch everything back heel again and bring Fatu with us, and then, you know, we were supposed to try to form our own little group. Well, we know today it works, but yeah, it's good. It was a good idea, I thought, you know, at the time, but, you know, everybody has different, their own opinions.
And I guess you were Sammy the Silk, right, at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. And ECW. ECW.
Yeah. Same gimmick, though, Samoan Gangster Party, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at the time, too, we wanted nothing more than to see, you know, ECW and Pauly, you know, succeed in their little takeover type of a gimmick. You know,
yeah.
Little wild thing. So, yeah, it was a good move. It was a good presence. Everybody was cool. I knew everybody there anyway, so it's just this is another phase, another time.
That's funny, because speaking of Paul Lee, it's funny, you manage you guys as SST, got in 89, right, in the 80s into mm-hmm. the 90s, ECW show up, he's still with Roman Reigns, Roman today, right? I mean, it's just crazy mm-hmm. to think that the longevity of Heyman with the Samoans of all people.
Hey. We knew him forever, since back in when I first started, you know, like, what was it, 83, and, you know, Paul was around then, too, you know, people don't even know that, you know, so it's been a long road with Paul, you know, we have our history, and a lot of good times, a lot of times I drive him crazy, but, hey, who don't I drive crazy?
Even Heyman was around before you even got there. He was taking pictures when Vince Sr. was there. So, I mean, mm-hmm. he was around WWF or WWF for forever, pretty much.
Exactly. Yep, that's what I mean.
When you look at the current landscape of the WWE and the Bloodline and Roman Reigns and the Usos, do you acknowledge the Tribal Chief? Is he the head of the table? Is he the Tribal Chief?
Of course he is. Of course he is. Hey, listen. He brought these people up to, you know, to be able to pay attention, to bring it back. I don't know how to say it. I mean, not that it got boring or anything. You know, it just sometimes wrestling does that. It just flatlines for a while, and then it makes a comeback all the time. Wrestling just does. You know, they'll go dead, and something else will pop up, some new thing, and that'll last 5 minutes and go away. Nothing's really changed on the landscape of the format, so it's pretty obvious, you know, the ratings and everything like that that Joe's doing is phenomenal. It's great business. I'm glad he has a lot of creative control.
That's the one thing. Remember when they were scripting his promos and he was saying suffer and succotash and stuff, and it was like not getting over, and it was and then it's like him letting him be himself. It's like, wow, this guy is unbelievable. You know what I mean? It's like this guy is, he could just, it's like Tony Soprano over here, the way he's talking and controlling the room.
Yeah, don't try too hard. Let it flow. You know, don't force it.
What do you think of, like, just the bloodline in general? Because, like you said, wrestling is hot again. Roman is the first billion-dollar champion ever, right? I mean, they're worth billions. What do you think of the bloodline right now?
Oh, just, you know, proud to be able to watch these kids do their thing, you know. I'm proud to be here, you know. I'm hoping one day they'll smarten up and put my son in there, too. Lance, he's been busting his ass since he was been in the ring since he was 5 years old, but you know, everybody's got their turn, so you know, he's still in the shadows waiting his turn.
The thing is,
he's still doing it, you know, he's still doing what he loves.
They were supposed to be going to have this tribal ceremony, this acknowledgement ceremony. Was like everybody going to be a part of that? Like, were they going to bring you back and Rikishi and all these other guys? Was everybody going to be a part of that with Roman?
From what I know, yeah, it was supposed to be Kishi, myself, my dad, my uncle, to name a few. And my dad couldn't fly at the time, and Rikishi had pneumonia at the time. So everything just got put on the back burner.
Almost worked out just as okay, because they had that Sami Zayn thing, and now that heated up that crowd. Man, I haven't heard heat like that in forever. They wanted to kill Roman, you know, F you Roman and stuff. I mean, that was great. He's the master.
Yeah, I loved it. It was good. It was good TV.
When you look at it, are you proud though? Because if you look at it, obviously High Chief is kind of, you know, the originator, but your dad and Sika are like the real Rocksteady, and then it goes to you and Rikishi. And then, you know what I mean? Like, you're part of that generation, you're part of that bloodline. Does that make you proud and happy to see what's going on here today with these guys?
Of course, yeah. Because we fought to keep that bloodline, that blood flowing, you know. You know what I'm saying? So that we always kept it alive. It's never really died out, and now it's just got a boost of gasoline to the flame. And you know, yeah, we're proud. I'm tickled myself. You know, Joe's one of my little cousins, man. That we watched through football. We were cheering him along the way, and he had a few mishaps, you know, with the leukemia, made a comeback off of that, kicked its ass. And, you know, it's not to love about the guy, you know. He's busting his ass, and he's doing it the right way. And myself and the family's proud of it.
He's the best in the business. He's the best I've seen in maybe two decades. Maybe since The Rock, who obviously is another family member of yours. Funny how that happens. The Samoans always somehow are the best. You know what I mean? It's like The Rock, and then you wait a little bit, and Roman's the next great one. What is it about the Samoans, you think, that it's just wrestling is just in their blood no matter what?
Mayonnaise. It's got to be. It's something we all have in common. It's true.
It is true, though. It's like The Rock, Roman, Yokozuna, obviously you, Rikishi. I mean, there's so many. Your dad, Sika, your uncle. I mean, there's so many guys that are Samoan. The Usos, obviously. I mean, just like there's never a bad one. Like, there's never a bad worker. Have you never noticed that? It's like everyone's always good.
We work hard. And we do everything mostly in the, you know, not mostly everything in the name of God, too. So, we give all the thanks to the Lord.
As we wind it down, we head towards the finish here. Do you have just some favorite opponents you've had over the years? I've just been curious that, because you guys, I mean, you had some killer matches with a ton of guys.
Yeah, I flash back all the time. I did. I mean, we had some great matches with, like, the Smoking Guns and everything. But I go back, like, to Dusty Rhodes, Andre the Giant, Jimmy Snuka. This is a time where this young kid had a chance to work all of his idols and be in the same ring, something I never thought would happen. That always stuck with me through the years. So, coming back to, you know, we still was Andre was still there, everybody was still there. We were all just a little bit older, different now, but it was good times. It was a good time learning experiences. And again, couldn't have did it without all the help. You know, all the guys in the business that helped us out along the way, gave us advice. You know, small things, big things, small things, everything. You know, you just pick it up and keep your mouth shut and be a sponge, ears open, you know, all of that. It's true.
What do you think is the legacy of your family? I mean, the Samoan dynasty, the Anoa'i family. What do you think is the legacy? Because there is so much greatness, but how would you describe it?
As far as what do you mean?
Like if somebody says, like, when they're, you know, many years in the future, that they're looking back at your family, like, how would you almost describe it? Like, it was like just going through it. Like, when somebody says, what's the stamp that those people left behind? Like, what would you think of when they say the Anoa'i family and the Samoans and the dynasty?
A group of tough son bitches.
Maybe the toughest.
We left a mark, you know. We our main thing was to get our people, you know, that's what I was always taught, you know, to bring our people's name up. And at the time, because back in the day when my dad and my uncle was traveling, nobody, Samoa was just a small dot on the map. Nobody really ever heard of it, where it came from. So we wanted to let everybody know, you know, where we come from. And that always transferred to generation to generation to generation to today. We're still doing it. And even though people now know, you know, not because just us, you know, football, baseball, everything, you know, the rugby, Samoans are now known as tough SOBs out there, you know, no nonsense on the field, or they play hard, we play hard, and I don't know, the proof's in the pudding.
That's the thing. It's funny, like football and wrestling. Everybody knows, like, the island of Samoa now. It's like everybody is familiar with it. It's crazy.
It's a good thing. Now I get the checkbook out.
Yeah. Of course, got to also say the Celeb Fest in Baltimore. Big time coming up with DH Promotion. Visit the Samu table. Million Dollar Man Tabby DiBiase will be there as well. DH Promotions is kicking ass and taking names for sure. But where else can everybody find you as far as, like, social media and otherwise?
Well, on social media, Facebook, I'm Samu on Anoa'i, Twitter, Anoa'i Samu. And, yeah, I'll be at Saturday, February 18th. We'll be down back in Baltimore again, Jimmy Seafood, watching the Elimination Chamber and signing some autographs, doing a personal appearance down there and hanging out, doing a good time. Then Saturday, March 18th, I'm doing a fundraiser for a good friend of mine, John Rambo, up in Allentown at the Fearless Fire Hall. And we're looking forward to trying our best to see what we could do to help John out. You know, he had a heart attack and had passed away, and they brought him back. Now he's on dialysis. And he's just been a friend of the family's for a long time, and we just want to do the most that we can to help the brother out.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Awesome stuff, Samu. Thank you so much. Before we let you go, who would win, The Rock or Roman Reigns? If they were ever to have that big match, who would you pick?
Vince.
Good point. Good damn point. Yeah, that's for sure. Vince would be making out hand over fist for that, for sure.
Yeah.
But Samu, thank you so much for all the time today. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on.
No problem, John. I was glad I'd finally be able to do this for you and touch base with you. We'll do it again in the future. And take care of yourself. Make some memories. And we'll talk with you next time.
Awesome. Thank you. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
WrestleVille.com presents the book Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich.
Hear how he was discovered, what happened when he was at World Class, and the adventures he had when he left Dallas.
Also available, the Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1 and 2.
Read stories of the Northern Wrestling Federation, Jazz, Bobby Eaton, Thunder Rosa, Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, PJ Black, Bushwhacker Luke, The Fantastics, Ricky Morton, Scott Casey, Tim Storm, Kamala, Sal Renaro, Jeremiah Plunkett, Andrew Anderson, and many more.
Get your books today at WrestleVille.com. It's where wrestling lives.
That's just a question of which Quebecer is going to pin Samo now.
I got a bad feeling about the head trigger's chances now about taking the title.
There we go. There's the gesture from the tower. Pierre's going to go up to the top rope right after this setup. Look at this. Now a shock in there. Shock with Samo. Pile driver perhaps coming to set him up.
I don't like it.
And look at this. Bringing the blood rush down to the head. And the impact. Oh, devastating. Unbelievable. And that should do it for the head trigger.
Don't count your chickens or your Samoans before their hats, big man.
I don't know about that signaler. Here for the tower once again. Tag is made. Legal man is Pierre. We've seen this before. A devastating maneuver from the top rope. Here comes Pierre. Yes. No. Moving out of the way. Just in the nick of time. Samo. But Johnny Polo smacks down. Albano. But Johnny Polo holds him. Oh, my goodness.
He's been emphasized.
Offa just let Johnny Polo have it. But here comes the tag. Here comes Pierre. Wait a minute. Here comes Fatu as well. Two freshmen in there. The referee didn't see it. Oh, no.
Throw away the key.
Double team it. No. A forearm that caught Pierre right in the mush by mistake.
We're getting down to the nitty-gritty right now for the titles.
Pierre and John. Oh, wait a minute. Did you see that?
Check that out.
Unbelievable. Pierre just nailed his own tag team partner.
On purpose.
You've got to get along. Yes, we talked about tag team coordination before. Chuck and Pierre having it out here on Monday Night Raw. What a stupid thing to do.
Real stupid. Little miscommunication could cost them the titles right there.
Now, it's up to Jacques to get over and tag Pierre. Meanwhile, the tag is made and Fatu is back in. Fatu and Sam. Oh, no. Oh, no. Look at this. Double team down. They almost buried Jacques. Look at that. Pierre is knocked off the apron.
The head triggers aren't letting up, brother. They're going for it all.
Up under the top rope now. As Samo backs to the corner. Fatu off the top and down. 1, 2, yes.
They got it. They got it.
Look at this place.
It's over.
Burlington, Vermont. What setting for Monday Night Raw. The setting for the tag team championship changing of the guard.
I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps.
It took